The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Yet for all their joy, they were still disbelieving and wondering. And he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The menu of the day was broiled fish. And I wonder, was that all? Did Jesus get a bit of hummus, perhaps, or a salad? Did the disciples have a cup of water for him, or a cup of wine even, although I suppose either way it would have been fine for Jesus? We will never know for sure the full menu that day, but that broiled fish detail sticks out to me. The disciples were in Jerusalem, not so close to the sea, in fact, but they were fishermen, so that was kind of their thing. As usual, I wonder about these details. In the telling of this post-resurrection appearance of Jesus, why was it important to mention the menu? And could you also please give me more information about the appetizers? I would like to know. I don't actually think the menu itself is the important part, but small details like this are huge in Scripture because it means that this was a moment that was important, something to pay attention to. These random details in Scripture guide us to notice things we otherwise wouldn't. And here, what we are to notice is that Jesus was hungry. Jesus, crucified, died, and buried, is now standing before the disciples and asking, "Have you anything here to eat?" Jesus was hungry. And Jesus' hunger is important because once again, it shows his friends that he is vulnerable, that he has needs that need to be filled. What a radical thing for a leader and teacher to do. What a risky thing for a prophet to do, crucified or not. This is what happened, as it is written. First, Jesus showed them his hands and his side, and then, while in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. So hands and feet were not enough to prove that he was the one they saw crucified. The disciples were still doubtful and confused. But when Jesus revealed that he had a stomach, apparently that made all the difference. So that simple menu of broiled fish might seem, again, like an unnecessary detail, but here's the thing that it makes us realize and understand. Hungry Jesus cannot be a ghost. Hungry Jesus is not created by AI. Hungry Jesus is not a figment of your imagination. Hungry Jesus is your friend who always seems to show up when dinner is just ready. Hungry Jesus is your child who needs a snack immediately after you've cleared the table from dinner. Hungry Jesus is you when you've been up all night studying and just want Pinocchio's pizza in your mouth right now. Hungry, risen Jesus has a stomach and an appetite just like we do. Hungry Jesus is alive just as we are. What does it mean for us to know the Son of God, the Alpha and the Omega, the Messiah, in this way, as one who hungers, as one with scars, as one with needs? People often tell pastors about scars. Sometimes this comes in the form of a confession. Sometimes it looks like telling a story out loud in order to lessen its power. Sometimes it looks like revealing a scar that has been kept hidden even from the closest of family and friends, because the world tells us that scars are shameful. I think of the man who on his 80th birthday needed to tell me about his experiences as a soldier in the Korean War and how each of the men he killed had been haunting him through his life. I think of the woman who wanted to share with me about her illegal abortion in the 1960s, which she felt she should be sad about but isn't. I think of the parent whose grown child is in prison for child pornography, and she's never told her closest friends at church because she feels guilty for still loving him. Scars, wounds, pain, they can make us feel like a failure. They can make us feel like we are the only ones, we are unique. No one else feels the things that we do or has scars like we do. It can feel that if we reveal them, no one will love us, and worse yet, maybe God won't love us. In 1945, in the last days before our brother Dietrich Bonhoeffer was hanged for his part in a plot to assassinate Hitler, he wrote on a scrap of paper in his prison cell the phrase, "Only a suffering God can help. Only a suffering God can help me now. Only a scarred God can help. Only a hungry God can help." For me, these post-resurrection accounts of Jesus take me directly back to Bethlehem. They take me back to the incarnation. Because the scandals of the cross and the resurrection always lead back to the scandal of the incarnation, to the good news shouted by angels that Gloria in excelsis Deo, God has come near. God is near. God has been born of a woman, walks where we ought walk because he has feet, who cries over a friend who died because he has a heart, who is hungry because he has a stomach. Jesus has scars from living life, from persecution, from risking it all with and for us. And the risen Jesus comes to us again and again with those scarred feet and hands and a rumbling stomach and says, "By the way, you are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses. We are witnesses." Of what are we witness? We are witnesses to the scriptures, the prophets, the teachings and healings and miracles of Jesus, of the crucifixion, of the resurrection, and we are witnesses of the scars that we have seen. Jesus' scars, the scars of our neighbors, the scars the world bears, our own scars, these scars that show and prove that we are alive. We may have been through it, but here we are. Amen? Amen. Amen. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, Jesus said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. On that day, a hungry Jesus came to stand among the disciples and asked, "Have you anything here to eat?" And the question I would ask of the church today, the church universal today, is, do we have anything here to eat? Do we have anything to offer to the world? You can infer that I believe that we do, or I would not be standing here every Sunday in this pulpit. Amen? I believe that we have something to offer to the world. I would dare to say that what we have to offer, though, is not some slick, shiny, Insta-ready Jesus, but rather the Jesus that we met today in Scripture, the one we will meet at the table today, the risen Christ who is alive, hungry, and scarred, and alive with us, God incarnate, God crucified, God raised, God hungry. We are witnesses of these things. And this, I believe, is what we have to offer to those who come asking the church, do you have anything? Do you have anything to help me today? Do you have anything to eat? What we have to offer, dear ones, is the good news that Christ is raised, and that scars are not only not shameful, but are holy, holy signs of life and of healing. Maybe we even have a piece of broiled fish to offer the hungry one at the door. Maybe we have some cake. Dear Indu, 2.5 years old, one of our younger members of the congregation, recently described this congregation, Unilu, like this, quote, they put masks on and listen to music. Then they go to the room to eat cake. Amen. Amen to hunger. Amen to scars. Amen to resurrection. Amen to bread, to wine, to cake, to Jesus incarnate, crucified and risen. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia.